I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ, and I bring you greetings from my wife, Elizabeth, and the church. If you are visiting Hill City for the first time today, I'm not the senior pastor. There's a senior pastor here, and that is Dr. Joseph Obeshison and Buki. And so I want to appreciate God for their lives and for their friendship and for what God has done with them in this ministry. During the week, I spoke to Pastor Joe, and he said, "You are not new to our church. You are actually one of our members who ran away. So I'm actually back home now. Praise God. It's great to be back home. I want to thank Buki and Joseph for inviting me this morning. It's always an honor to be back to Hill City and to see what God is doing. It's very inspiring, and it's wonderful to see the church going on, new people coming to the church, and old faces still here. Praise God. So I want to thank you for all that you're doing, especially the leadership as well who are supporting the ministry. It takes a lot of courage to want to start a church. But when God has called you, him that has started, he is also faithful to finish it. So thank you, all the musicians. Thank you, all the team. Thank you for everyone that plays any role in this ministry. Because we are seeing this today because of the roles all of us have played. Amen. This morning, I would like to share something short with us and just get out of your way. On Sunday mornings in Australia, you don't want to sound like a Pharaoh preacher. A Pharaoh preacher does not let God's people go. Keep them forever in church. But this morning, we'll trust God for grace. Amen? Amen. Why don't you appreciate the woman of God one more time for all the great work he's doing? Amen. Thank you for supporting Joseph and for all that you do. God will reward you. It's always an honor to see you and the enthusiasm and the fervor, the zeal never drops even a cent. May God bless you. May God bless you. Amen. Wow. This morning, I want to share something with you. And as you know, I'm actually a teacher as well. So I'm lucky to have somebody that has been to my class before. Nikki. Yes? Good. So as you know, I don't do all the talking. We teach each other. So you help me to preach, and I also hear from you. Right? Good. It's going to be hard standing here for over 30 minutes talking. I can't do it. It's by the Spirit of God, and I need you to talk to me. Amen? Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We are here in your presence because we know that you have an appointment, God, for somebody. You have, Lord, a destiny moment for somebody. I thank you, Lord, for these words that are coming out of my mouth. I pray that they shall be your words. I ask in Jesus' name, and I subject every facet of my being to you. I pray, oh God, that your Spirit will speak through me today. Let someone be blessed today. Let someone be lifted today. Let someone be healed today. If there's anyone here that is down, I pray, would they have appeared in Zion? And your word has said that anyone that appears in Zion, they shall go from strength to strength. So I thank you for the strength of the Holy Ghost in this place. I thank you, God, for the multitude of angels in this place. That, Lord, we will leave this place knowing that, Lord, we came to meet Jehovah God. We bless you this morning for your word. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Today, I want to share with you something I've titled, The Right People. The Right People. Can you all say it with me? The Right People. If we have the right people, then we can also have the wrong people. In fact, let me be politically correct and say that I'm not saying right people because I'm right-handed. I'm not saying that if you are left-handed, you are not in this. I'm saying appropriate people. Praise God. So right people is what I'm talking about today. And by the end of this message, I am trusting God for God to give us a certain revelation of what it means to be in some important relationships. Praise God. Now let's set the context by saying that God has put humans in charge on earth. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, scripture says, and God said, let us create man in our own image and let them have dominion on earth, the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and all that walks on the earth. So it means on earth here, men are in charge, women are in charge, human beings are in charge. It is one of the reasons why we pray. Because if we don't pray, nothing happens. Praise God. And I can prove to you again in scripture, when the Bible says that Herod arrested one of the 12 called James and had his head cut off, the church did nothing. Then Peter was arrested. Then the church said, no way. We are not going to allow this to happen. The church began to pray. And then a miracle happened. It means men are in charge here. And if Christians don't pray, a lot can go wrong. So we need to establish that. That on earth here, men are in charge. And that is why when you are crossing the traffic light, there is no power that pulls you back. Because you are in control. If God was controlling everything, this place would be full. Because people who don't want to even come to church, God will force them to come to church. But God has given everybody the free will to do what they do. But I bless God that you chose to be in church today. Amen. So the next thing I would like to state on that point also is that God uses human beings on earth more than angels. When you go through scripture, New Testament and Old Testament, you can virtually count the number of times God sent an angel. But you will be doing yourself a lot of work if you want to count the number of times God used men and women. So God uses men and women or human beings more than he uses angels on earth. Again, it is the reason why we need to understand the law of relationships. If you don't understand relationships, you will miss out a lot. God even said in Genesis 1:26, let us create, let us, not him alone. He was referring to some other beings, other gods. Let us, God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. It means that there are things that will not happen if you are insular, if you are not connected to the right people. Amen. Let us move on. Isaiah 46, verse 11. God says that I summon a man to fulfill my purpose. Or I summon human beings to fulfill my purpose. What it means is that for God to do some things in your life, he needs to connect you to some other people. Isaiah 46, verse 11. When you read Proverbs 29, verse 18, scripture says, where there is no vision, the people, oh, come on, preach with me. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But this morning, let's turn it upside down. Where there are no people, the vision also perishes. A lot of visions have perished. A lot of visions have been delayed because there are not right people. Where there is no vision, the people perish. The opposite is also true. Where there are no people, the vision perishes. Let me give you a few examples in scripture. Adam, Bible said, and God saw that it was not good for Adam to be alone. So God made Adam a helpmeet. That was in the person of who? Eve. Jacob was also another person that God connected other people to his life to be a blessing unto him. You remember Rebecca? Rebecca was the one that changed the destiny of Jacob. Another example is Joseph. Joseph was in jail, just suffering, just complaining, until he interpreted the dream of another person, and that person connected him to a king, and he was out of the jail. Are you following me so far? Let's talk about Esther. Esther also had someone in her life called Mordecai. Let's talk about Ruth. Ruth also had someone called Boaz. Let's talk about David. David has someone called Jonathan. In fact, I identify with David a lot because David was destined to be the king of Israel, but he was a bush boy. You know, in Australia, we don't say villager because there are you have electricity in every remote place, internet is working. But where some of us come from, when we say it's a village, you know it's a powerful village. This thing is a privilege. And you study with patash. Do you know patash? Wick and match. Praise God. David was destined to be king. He was not connected to anyone who was a king in his family. So God had to connect him to Jonathan to teach him how to behave like a king. Because David, you are destined to be a king. And when you get to the palace, you need to learn to use fork and knife. You put this one in your left, you put this one in your right. You are a bush boy, you eat with your hands. I need to teach you. Are you following me so far? So David also had a destiny helper or a right person in his life. Let's talk about our fast forward to Jesus. Jesus, our own Savior. Jesus also had right people in his life. He chose 12, and out of the 12, he chose another 3 who were with him. Anytime he went to some special places, the Jameses, the Johns, and the James, and the Peters. Even when he died, Jesus needed someone to go and talk to King Pilate to release his body. Because at some point, the power of the disciples was limited. And they needed someone who was powerful in government to talk to Pilate to say, release for me the body of Jesus Christ. It means if there was nobody like Joseph of Arimathea who caused Jesus' body to be brought down, maybe Jesus' body would have hung there for a long time. A long time. And Paul. This was a man that was meeting out threats to the church. This was a man that was destroying the work of God. And he repented, turned around, and started preaching the gospel. He needed someone to introduce him to the church, and that was Barnabas. Barnabas was the one that spoke to the church on behalf of Paul that this man has changed. Even when Paul appeared in church, people were running away because they thought he was about to do his thing one more time. But Barnabas had to assure the church that, relax, our brother has changed. It tells you that God uses people in our lives. God connects us to people to take us from one stage to the other. God connects us to people from different places. And I would like you to understand that when God is connecting you to somebody, God doesn't look at the skin of the person. God doesn't look at the gender or the sex of the person. God doesn't look at perhaps the educational level. God sees something in the person and says that you need that thing, and I therefore have to connect you to him so the person can lift you to the next level. A lot of people are stuck in their destinies because they don't have the right people in their lives. They don't have the right people in their lives. There's a lot of delay in a lot of things because right people are missing. But I pray that today, after this message, God will touch you. God will bring all the right people in your life. God will touch the hearts of men, and you connect yourself onto so many people who will be strategic in your life. I want us to do a case study. Case study. And the case study is based on 2 people. One was in John chapter 5, verse 1 to 9, and the second was Mark chapter 2, verse 1 to 12. Are you following me so far? So, John 5, 1 to 9, Mark 2, 1 to 12. Let's look at the 2 case studies. Right. So, John 5, 1 to 9. After this, there was a feast of the Jews. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there was in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having 5 porches. In this lay a multitude of sick people, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well, whatever disease he had. Verse 5. Now a certain man had been there who had an infirmity for 38 8 years. I can't go on. He had an infirmity for how long? For 38 years. That was not the age of the man. It is how long he has been sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be well?" Listen to what the man says. The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man. I have no..." I'm trying to pull your attention to something. "I have no man." It means he had been there for a long time because he was not connected to the right people. He had been there for a long time because the family had abandoned him. He had been there for a long time because the wife, we're not told whether he was married, but if you had been sick for 38 years, it suggests to me that you must be either in your 50s or, because we are not told that the man was sick when he was younger. I would suppose that he got the sickness at some point in his life, so he should be in his 50s. Where was his mom? Where was his dad? Didn't he have any brothers around that they left him there 38 good years? And he said, "I have no man. I have no man. Sir, I have no man to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up. But when I am coming, another man steps before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed, walked, and that day was the Sabbath. Amen. Before we move on to the second case study, I just want to draw your attention to a few things in this scripture. So, in the pool of Bethesda, they had a pool, water, where once in a year, an angel of the Lord will come and stir the water. And if you were fast to fall into the water, you'll be healed of any sickness. Thank God for the Holy Spirit, who stirs up water in every service like Hill City. So we don't have to wait for once a year. Every meeting is Holy Ghost time, and you can be healed there. Hallelujah. But in those times, this man had to wait. And because he had no man, just imagine, the water is dead. He is trying to push himself up to get there. And another person is pushed ahead of him, and he has to wait for one more year. Church, that is what happens when you don't have the right people. I was thinking that there will be a brother or a sister close to this brother, seated by him, just in case the angel comes. They will help him up and push him into the water for the healing. But he had no man. 38 years suggests to me that there was something wrong with the relationship principles of this man. We are not told, but scripture doesn't tell us because we don't have to know. So we can safely conclude that this man had relationship issues. Don't you have friends who will just stand by you and say, we anticipate that the stirring is going to happen on Wednesday night. So from Wednesday morning to Wednesday night, we are standing by you. And there are examples in the Bible, like Job. He was sick and he had friends who were with him. Bible said they sat with Job for 3 days. They didn't say a word. It means that you can be sick and you can still have people around you. Bible says that one time Paul went somewhere to preach in Lystra. And after he preached that, they stoned him to death. Something happened. And when the disciples gathered around Paul, Bible says he regained his strength. There is power in relationships. There is power when you have the right people around you. Right. Let's look at the second case study. So, the first case study suggests that an angel stirs water. Someone has to go in, but this brother of ours had been there for 38 years because he didn't have the right people. Let's look at the second case study. In Mark chapter 2, verse 1 to 12. Are you following so far? Praise God. "And again, he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately, many gathered together, so that there was no longer room to receive him, not even near the door, and he preached the word to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by how many men?" Who was carried by how many men? 4 men. "And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, They let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, I'm bringing your attention. Come on, think with me. Not the faith of the sick man, but the faith of the four men who could not make their way through the place because the place was choked. They just punched a hole through the roof and let the man down. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And some of the scribes were there just murmuring and complaining. Why did this man speak like that? But immediately Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned that way within themselves. And he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your heart? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Arise and take up your bed and walk?'" 10. "But so that you will know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." And immediately he arose, took up his bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." Church, just compare the two accounts, the two narratives. A man was sick. He couldn't walk. Similar situation like the man who was near the pool of Bethesda. But in the case of this second case study, we realize that he had four men that carried him. He had four men who walked with him. He had four men who were willing to track with him everywhere to make sure that there was healing in his life. And these four men were willing to go the extra mile to even extend that if they could not find a place near the door, what they would do is that they will make a hole through the roof and let him down. It pays to have the right people in your life. It pays to have the kind of relationships that will bring you healing. It pays to have the kind of relationships that will make a difference and bring God's purposes to pass in your life. There are two main kinds of people in our life. Everybody here. Those assigned by God and those we allow. Let me say that again. There are two main people. Those assigned by God to carry you to the next level, or those you allow. Usually, those we allow are people, if you look at the reasons, they're very flimsy. Indeed, those that God assigned, we don't even like them sometimes because they are annoying. They get on your nerves. But Bible says in Isaiah 46, verse 11, "I appoint a man or a woman or a human being to carry out my purpose in you." So I believe God has a purpose for you. I believe you are going up. I believe that your future is great. Even as a church, we're going somewhere. But somehow, God will have to use men and women to take us to the next level. The difference between the two men was what? Relationship. The difference between the two men was what? Relationship. And Bible says in the second case, Bible says, and Jesus, when he saw the faith of the four men. So it means that when you are in some tight corner, all you need is connection to the right people. And their prayer will be enough to lift you up for healing and for the grace of God. The opposite is also true, that you can be sick for 38 years. You can be in a mess for a long time because you are insular. You don't want to talk to anybody. You don't want to relate to anybody. And that is a problem in this country called Australia. Nearly 6 weeks ago, the next three houses from us where we live, the person had died for 2 weeks. Nobody knew. Why? Because the society believes in individualism. But that is not scripture. Bible says God puts the lonely in families. You need to be connected, not just to anybody or just everybody, but the right people. Church, I brought you good news this morning, that those four men who carried the paralytic to Jesus represent some four different kinds of men everybody here needs. Each of them stands for specific strategic relationship. And after this service, I would encourage all of you to do relationship audit. Come on, everybody say it. Relationship. One more time. Relationship audit. A man of God recently said something and I laughed. He said he had changed his voicemail. And this is what his voicemail read. Hello, this is Pastor whoever. I am making a relationship audit in my life. Please leave a voice message. If I don't call you back, you are one of those people I'm cutting off. Well, that's too harsh. But somehow, we need some kind of relationship audit. Look into your life now. The people that are in your life, are they the right people? Do you think or would you say that God assigned them or you allowed them? In fact, are they ones or they are just zeros in your life? Add nothing. Take from you. Every time you speak to them, you get depressed. By the time you spend 30 minutes with them, you are drained. Every time this person comes to you, you don't feel like going to church. That is not one of those four people. No way. It can't be one of those four people. So quickly, let's look at those four people and I'll be out of your way this morning. Praise God. Let's number them. One, at least you can see the one on the right, that there are four men who have carried a paralytic to Jesus for healing. Each of those men stands for a particular relationship. Let's name them. First one is a counselor. Number two is a confronter. Number three is a challenger. And number four is a celebrator. Let me start again. Four people you need in your life. These are the men and women. These are the people who will take you up onto the mat and present you to Jesus. These are the people who will make a difference in your life. The first one is a counselor. The second one is a confronter. The third one is a challenger. And the fourth one is a celebrator. Say it with me. Number one, let's go. Two. And then, praise God. So let's start with the first one. Hopefully, counselors. Everyone needs someone you go to for godly counsel. Because these days, there are so many varied opinions around. Hallelujah. So a counselor. Everybody needs someone that gives you godly counsel. Because these days, all you need is just get an internet. And you have people giving all kinds of advice, all kinds of guidance on Facebook, on Twitter, everywhere. But sometimes those counsels and those advice are not biblical. They are not from God. So who counsels you? Who talks to you? Let's go to Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15, please, quickly. Anyone there can read for us Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15. But a wise man listens to advice. Let's go to Proverbs 15, 22. Proverbs 15, 22. It says, without counsel, plans go awry. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. There is no point in your life where you say, I have reached, where you cannot get godly counsel from people. Counselors are people that give you godly advice. Counselors are people that help you when you are hurting. Because it is inevitable that sometime, someday in your life, you'll be hurt. It may be a work colleague who is just getting on your nerves. It may be a manager who is just draining you mentally. It could be some ex or some present relationship that is not working and that is driving you insane. You need a counselor. You need a counselor, my brother. Because the thing is that you cannot carry it all alone. When you carry this load alone, it becomes heavy and it affects everything around you. Life can get very hard. You need someone that you can open up to and tell them as it is. Sometimes when we open up to people, we open up in a way that will let us seem righteous and holy. We are not actually telling the truth. But you need someone that you can talk to freely and the person will not judge you. The person will feel that you are a human being and go like, look, I feel down. I need someone to lift me up. I need someone to talk to. Yes, as a pastor, I need to confess all the right confessions. So here, I have to let you know that God is great. But after I've gone home, I need a counselor to tell the person the real picture. So the person can lift me up. Things are heavy. Things can be really tough. It is counselors that will lift you up. Church, let me tell you something. When you don't have a counselor, two things happen. And I'll give them to you quickly. First of all, you react according to your feelings. And sometimes your feelings can be wrong. So someone hurt you 3 days ago, you just take the matter to your workplace and it's affecting everybody around you. I can tell that you don't have a counselor, because a counselor will comfort you. Number two, what actually happens is that when you don't have a counselor or someone comforting you, you always look out for the person who hurts you to heal you. He must come and apologize. She must say sorry. So until the person says that you're just going about all years, 38 years, 42 years, somebody did that thing to you 40 years ago, you're still holding on. You're just waiting for the person to say sorry. I can tell there's no counselor. I can tell there's no one comforting you. So you need a comforter. You need a counselor. Praise God. Just write it down. We will not read it. 1 Kings chapter 2, 12, verse 1 to 18. It talks about a man called Rehoboam. Rehoboam was destined to be the king of Israel after Solomon. The Bible says that the northern tribes came to him and said, Rehoboam, we are willing to serve you. Can you please lessen our load a little bit? Reduce the tax. It's too much. Can you do something about it? And he said, go. I'll go and get advice. And I'll get back to you. Scripture says that Rehoboam talked to the elders of Israel, and they gave him counsel that, yes, what they are saying is right. Reduce the taxes, and they will serve you. And he said, thank you. Then he went to his colleagues, the people he grew up with, boys, and they said, go and tell them, you guys, I'm going to even make your work and the taxes even harder. And scripture says in verse 8 that Rehoboam rejected the advice of the elders and took the advice of the young men he grew up with. So the kingdom was torn into two. 12 tribes, 10 went their way, and he only got two. And the two was because of God's promise to David. He would have lost them all. That tells you what happens when you don't have the right people. A lot of people have shipwrecked their destinies because they have no counselor in their lives. You just do things as you feel. You just do things that come to you. You just sign up documents just like that. Who advises you? Let us be smart. Let us be wise. The second person that you need in your life is a confronter. It's a confronter. Confronters are people we don't like. They are the ones that open up and tell you the truth. They are not impressed by your achievements. They are not impressed by your degrees, but they are people God has placed in your life to tell you that this is wrong. And the point is this. One of the reasons why you need a confronter is that you are not always right. Oh, church is quiet this morning. Oh, you are not inviting me again. Okay, let me finish and go. Praise God. You are not always right. You are not always right. And scripture says that there is a way that seems right to a person, but the end thereof is death. If you have a confronter, they come to you and they tell you the truth in love. That, my brother, this is wrong. This is sin. I recently met someone who was a friend we were together some time ago doing music, etc. And I met this sister and I said, so where do you fellowship? And she said, oh, now I go to that church. Good church by all standards. And I asked why. So, oh, yeah, it's a big church, and therefore, no one can pick me up when I'm doing anything. When you join these small churches, their eyes are following you, and every time, pastor will be saying, this is wrong, that is wrong. So churches are full, but how many are going to heaven? Churches are full, how many are being discipled? You need a confronter in your life. And when you go through scriptures, a man, David, after God's own heart, had a confronter called Nathan. Are you with me? When you go to 2 Samuel chapter 12, 1 to 15, scripture says, David sinned. He took someone's wife, Uriah, and had him killed and took the wife called Bathsheba. I like Bathsheba because she was baffling when David saw her. And that's why his name is called, her name is called Bathsheba. That's for me. Don't worry. So Bathsheba. She was baffling when David saw her. Praise God. But scripture says that Nathan went to David and said, David, you have sinned. He used an allegory. He used illustrations, but landed on the fact that you are king and you have usurped somebody's wife. That is wrong. And immediately, David fell down and repented. You see, when you don't have a confronter in your life, everything seems right. You insult people, you do wrong things, and you feel okay. Because the people around you, the people who are around you are only enablers. They give you the go-ahead. They will tell you, you should have even said more. You are headed for something dangerous, but it shall not be your portion in Jesus' mighty name. First Kings chapter 21, 1 to 29. We see another confronter there in the person of Prophet Elijah. And Ahab, Jezebel, took Naboth's vineyard. It didn't belong to them. They stole it from this poor man. And God raised a confronter and sent Elijah to Ahab and said, you have stolen somebody's property. It is not right. Luckily, Ahab repented, but Jezebel did not. And who died disgracefully? Jezebel. See, confronters will come your way so that you can repent. And how you know that a person is your confronter is that they are not interested in exposing you. They just want you to be a person that is right with God. How much more can we talk about a confronter than your senior pastor? These days, pastors are really careful about what to say, because you can't say that is wrong or that is wrong. Because the person will leave church and the person will even withhold their tithe and offering because you said that is wrong. If it's based on the Bible, bless God for such a confronter, because God is using them to be a blessing to you. Amen. Third one, we are almost done. Third one is a challenger. A challenger. A challenger. Everyone needs a challenger. Challengers are people who are ahead of you. People who do it better than you. In fact, when it comes to church stuff and even Christianity, you need a challenger. Challengers are people who love God more than you do. One of the things I love about challengers is that they expose the deficiencies in your walk with God. They make you know you are not reading Bible enough. You are not praying enough. I have one sometimes I swear her. You call her on the phone. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, and you say, oh, let us pray for 1 hour. By the time you realize it is 3 hours and you are tired, she's not tired. Everyone needs a challenger. Someone that makes you know the next level. If you don't have a challenger, you always think that you have arrived. If you don't have a challenger, you always rest on your ass thinking that this is okay. But Paul says something in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 to 14. He says that not that I count anything worthy or that I have reached, but everything that is behind me, I just forget about it. And I focus on what is ahead of me. You need a challenger. Someone that challenges your faith. Someone that inspires you. Who challenges you? In fact, if you are the smartest person in your circle is small. You must have people who are smarter than you. You must have people who are prayerful than you. You must have people who study the word more than you. You must have people who preach better than you. You must have people who are doing church better than you. They make you see how good yours can become so that you don't rest. One of the challenges I've set for my daughters, and when they see me coming at home, all of them see that there's something coming. Because even though one is in year 5, she doesn't do year 5 stuff. She does year 6 and year 7 stuff. And sometimes she complains. And I go like, you will get it later. Because I don't want you to be the best in your class. You must start feeling inadequate.
because you're doing something harder than you.
She's got used to it. And that means that she's always ahead of her peers. And that is what God also wants for all of us. You need a challenger. Someone that inspires you. Someone that drives you along. And they help expose how inadequate your spirituality is. The last one is you need a celebrator. Someone that celebrates you. In fact, let me just give you this scripture for the challenges. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1 and 1 Corinthians 4, 16. Paul said in both scriptures that be ye imitators of me. So challenges are people that you imitate their faith. You look at to them and they inspire you. Now let's move on to the celebrator. Celebrators are people that rejoice with you. This system is very, very stressful. I never knew what stress is until I came to Australia. Because you are all by yourself. Neighbors, if you are lucky for them to even say hello to you, you are blessed and highly favored. So you are all by yourself. You can be so stressed that you lose sight of the good things that are happening around you. But at every point in your life, you need someone that will come to you and say, forget about that problem. Let's count our blessings. Let's name them one after the other. And we will see how good the Lord has been. Yes, I know you don't have a job yet, but you still have life. That is something to celebrate. Yes, I know the man left you or the woman left you, but you are still alive. I know that things aren't working at the moment, but you still are healthy. I know that part of you is hurting, you're sick, but you are not dead. You need someone that always celebrates life with you. The last thing I want is to call somebody over the phone and they start complaining. Oh, the economy is bad. 43,000 people, and that's what the media does. 43,000 people have died in Afghanistan. 6 people have died in Assyria. 6 people have died here. Earthquake has happened here. These things cause stress. I look at the good side. How many people were released from the hospital today? Being discharged by doctors. Sometimes you listen to the news and it appears that all that is happening in Australia is negative. People dying, people smashing their cars into trees and all kinds of evil. But there are good stuff happening around us. You need a person that will always point to the good sides, the good things that God is doing in your life for you to be glad about. Because you know what? Regardless of how you see yourself, you are better off than somebody else. You've got reasons to celebrate. You've got reasons to rejoice. Sometimes we even bring it to church because something has not happened. When we lift up our hands in worship, it affects how you worship God because the job interview or you have been fired or you've lost a job. So that determines how you will sing. Then sings my soul. And when you see people raising up their hands, you go like, you look down upon them in your heart. But you know what? You need a place like Hill City, where regardless of the circumstances, people are lifting up holy hands. It tells you that the God that did it for them is able to do it for you. The God that opened that door is able to open your door as well. There are good things happening. This church is going far. I don't care about what you see, but it is going places. And that is why I am glad to be associated with this house. And I'm glad to celebrate every achievement of this house. And that must be our blessing. Church, I leave you with this, that if you don't have the right people, the journey can be very long. It can be frustrating. But I gave you 2 case studies of a man who had the right people and a man who didn't have the right people. The man who had the right people had 4 people carry him to Jesus. But the man who did not stayed there for how many years? 38 good years. You need a counselor. You need a confronter. You need a challenger. And you need a celebrator. Let's pray.